might just be helpful to, if you wanted, to make a note of those passages and look at them in your own time in more detail. But alcohol is one of those topics we get lots of mixed messages today. On the one hand, there's all sorts of encouragements to go out and to buy and to drink alcohol. We have all the adverts in the newspapers, articles in the magazines, particularly from the supermarkets, extolling the latest type of wine or beer that they've got on their shelves. So there's supermarket promotions. And particularly before big sporting events, and especially, as I'm sure you'll need reminding, no reminding, in the run-up to Christmas, we'll all have lots of adverts being pushed our way, encouraging us to buy and to drink alcohol. And you go into a card shop, there's loads and loads of birthday cards there, all suggesting that to drink alcohol, beer or wine or whatever, that's what you really need to help your celebrations go with a swing and to celebrate properly. But on the other hand, we get this mixed message because we put restrictions on alcohol. We put restrictions on its sale. You can't sell it to someone under 18. We set limits for healthy living or for drinking and driving. We have various campaigns. Drink aware or don't drink and drive. And of course, there's all sorts of criticism of drunkenness, of binge drinking, a lot of condemnation of those who get drunk, end up falling over in the streets, brawling, needing the help of police, ambulance, hospital staff, particularly if a celebrity is involved. We have all these mixed messages, but probably for most of us, it's not a great issue. Most of us, if we drink sensibly, whether it's at home, in a pub or restaurant with a meal, at a party. There are also those who just choose to ignore all the warnings or the bad side of alcohol. They just go out and get drunk anyway. And then there are those who simply, for various reasons, don't drink at all. But for some Christians, these mixed messages can be a bit confusing, especially if it's someone who's recently become a Christian or comes from a different church or religious background. Is it actually okay to drink or not? In the past, there's been a very strong temperance movement. People abstained. They signed the pledge. I have a little badge at home from my great aunt, who had joined the temperance movement back in the early 1900s. And today, there are still churches that forbid drinking of alcohol, whereas others just much more relaxed about it. And sometimes attitudes are justified by reference to verses in the Bible. The danger there sometimes is that we're very selective about the verses we quote, or we quote them out of context. So what does the Bible really say? Before looking at specific passages and verses, just a couple of general comments about the use of alcohol in the Bible. And throughout the whole Bible, starting in Genesis, right through into the New Testament, the Gospels, and the letters of Paul, alcohol was drunk. And there's lots of warnings too, about the effects of excess drinking. Right back in Genesis chapter 9, verse 21, we find Noah of all people, getting blind drunk and suffering the humiliation of being found naked and asleep outside his tent. So right from Genesis, right through to the first century AD, when it's the New Testament, references in the Gospels and in the letters, particularly of Paul, to drinking alcohol. But also, another thing just point to remember that it was often much safer to drink alcohol than to drink water, that was particularly likely to be contaminated if you were living in cities. And that was true probably till 150 odd years or so ago here in this country. So the general view of the Bible is that alcohol was drunk, it can still be drunk, but there are some specific situations in which its drinking is forbidden. That was when priests were involved in their priestly duties, and also those who'd taken a particular vow, a Nazarite vow. People like Samson in the Old Testament and John the Baptist in the New. And that vow involved abstaining from alcohol. So the general overview is that alcohol was drunk, but you don't get drunk on alcohol. So now let's be a little bit more specific. And Psalm 104, and what that has to say to us. It's a psalm that's praising God for all his goodness, his greatness, all his good deeds. It involves the creation of the world, the mountains, the rivers, the seas. His provision of food and water and shelter for man and animals and birds alike. For the rhythms of life, day and night, the seasons of the year. And then verse 15, words, wine that gladdens the heart of man. It's included in this list as a good gift. Does that surprise you to find that alcohol is listed as a good gift from God? For so often, don't we see the bad effects of alcohol, the drunkenness, the road accidents, the violence, and addiction. But yes, says the psalmist, alcohol is a gift from God. It gladdens the heart. It helps us relax and unwind. It's there for us to enjoy if we wish. It's used at celebrations to celebrate something that's really good that's happened to us, and other special events. And it was also, of course, endorsed by Jesus himself at a celebration, a wedding. And Jesus was no party pooper, but he clearly enjoyed a good meal or a party with some wine there as well. And if you remember the wedding at Cana in Galilee in John chapter 2, the wine had run out. Celebrations were going to be ruined, the hosts embarrassed. But when the problem was brought to Jesus, he changed the water in those six stone jars, each containing about 25 gallons of water. He changed those into wine. And not just any old plonk, it was really good wine, better than all that had gone before. So drinking wine too was part of the Jewish Passover celebration, that feast celebrating the Jews' freedom, freeing and deliverance from slavery in Egypt. And Jesus, at his last Passover meal, himself told his disciples to drink the wine at that celebration in memory of him, as a memorial, a reminder of what he was going to do, what he has done for us upon the cross, shedding his blood to deliver us from slavery to sin. Let me move on to see what Paul says. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, everything God created is good, and everything implies that alcohol is included. It's certainly not excluded by Paul. Indeed, he recommends to Timothy a little later on in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 13, stop drinking only water. Use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illnesses. He was aware of potential health benefits of a little wine to his friend who evidently suffered some digestive ailment. And we do find today There are scientific studies that suggest that drinking small quantities of alcohol may indeed be linked with benefits to health. Though must remember too, there are also plenty of studies talking about its harm. So that general view there in the Bible is that wine in small quantities is a gift from God, it's to be enjoyed by us. It helps us feel good, makes us happy and glad, gives good feelings of well-being, possibly health benefits as well. And except in a few circumstances, very specific circumstances, drinking of wine or alcohol was not forbidden. However, like other gifts from God, it's a good gift that's not to be abused. And the Bible is equally clear on this. For Paul, who had suggested that Timothy drinks a little bit of wine, regarding it as a good thing, also says in the verse in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 that Andy read, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." It was probably addressing in that letter to the Ephesians the situation where feasts were held in the pagan society, feasts held with and associated with the worship of idols. But these degenerated into drunken orgies so often. But as the command also is general, applies to all places, to all situations and occasions. For drunkenness spoils God's image, the image in which we are made. Each one of us bears something of the likeness of God in our bodies. Being drunk spoils that image, like graffiti on a wall. Gives a false likeness of God. And as Christians too, we're told that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, the places where God indeed dwells. And our bodies should therefore be worthy places, holy and set apart for Him, and reflect God in His perfection and His beauty and His glory. Because people will look at us and they'll see us and they will make a judgment about God from what they see in us. And drink, if we drink too much, if we get drunk, we're giving a false picture of God. Because being drunk makes us different, makes us dishonor God Himself. It demeans us. As with Noah, it can bring humiliation. It can make us violent, even to those we love. It can make us loosen our tongues as well, so we say things we later regret or are ashamed of. It can cause us to lose our self-control, to shed our inhibitions. It impairs our abilities and our judgments. Are those the sort of things we want others to see in us and judge God by? People do get drunk because they want the high, the temporary high it gives, the feelings of well-being. I've overheard a conversation between two girls at work once. One said, "What are you going to do at the weekend?" The other just quite naturally said, "I'm going to go and get drunk." I thought, how sad. Because they feel that to be happy, to feel they can do things that perhaps they couldn't normally, perhaps to drown out worries and cares and anxieties, to forget the unpleasant things of life, they try to get drunk instead. But the high that alcohol gives is only temporary. The good feelings fade. You get left with a hangover, a problems are still there afterwards, and you feel you need just another fix. And so what Paul is saying in verse 18, if you actually want a high, don't get drunk with wine, be filled with the Holy Spirit instead. Because the Holy Spirit gives us a high that lasts. It changes us for the better, not the worse, like alcohol. It's a high that gives us a joy in life, gives us good feelings, feelings of self-worth, free from guilt. And the high means we're actually empowered by the Holy Spirit. We really can do things that we feel otherwise we couldn't do. A Spirit-filled life is challenging, but it is exciting as well. We get on a real high as we see what God can do through His Spirit in us and through us, changing us and changing our society for the better. That's the picture of God we want others to see in our lives. Well, that is what God is really like. And the reason for the command, Paul's command not to get drunk, is summed up in the other verse that Andy read, in Proverbs 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker, and beer a brawler. Whoever is led astray by it is not wise. In effect, the writer is saying, it's just plain stupid to get drunk. Alcohol is a mocker. It promises much, but fails to deliver. The effects wear off. You're just left with a hangover and problems. Can, of course, lead too into a downward spiral of dependency and addiction. Gives us nothing worth having in the end. And as a brawler, it can lead to the changes in our character, making us violent, demeaning ourselves, get humiliated. And there are further warnings about the effects of too much alcohol, drinking too much, getting drunk, in Proverbs chapter, lost my place now. Yeah, Proverbs chapter 23. It says in verse 21, there's woes and strife, needless bruising, bloodshot eyes. That's verse, 29. And verse 32, alcohol goes down smoothly. That's nice, I like that. Goes down smoothly, but it bites like a snake and poisons like a viper. That's the downside. So the Bible actually is just as clear. Yes, wine is a good gift from God for us to enjoy. It's there for our enjoyment. But it's equally clear is that we should not get drunk. Two positions. Not contradictory, rather complementary. A little, but not too much. So where does that leave us? What decision? Is it okay to drink or not? Bible says yes. We might feel uncomfortable with it. Well, it becomes, in the end, a personal choice and responsibility. If we want, yes, have a drink. Enjoy it. It's part of God's good gift to us. Helps us relax, to celebrate, feel good. Just a little drink. But be aware of the dangers and the pitfalls, the harmful effects, whether short or long term. And don't get drunk. Moderation is the key. But also in our attitudes to alcohol and drinking, we do need to be sensitive to others. If we choose not to drink, that's fine, but we shouldn't be censorious, shouldn't go tut-tutting at those who do like a drink. And if we do like a drink, we need to be mindful that there are people who don't drink for various reasons. They may just not like the taste of alcohol. I know several people like that. They just don't like it. They may have an illness or be on medication that doesn't allow them to drink. If there's at a party, we find someone's not drinking, maybe that person is a driver of a group of friends. It may be, of course, someone who's recovering from alcohol dependency and addiction. And we need to respect their views. Don't look down on them. We should show them our love. Because if we're judging them, if we're being disapproving of them, if we're trying to twist their arm sometimes to have a drink when they don't really want to, we're not showing them our love. And Paul also gives some quite sound advice for us. A few more verses, and no need to look them up. But he says in Romans 14, verse 13, "Let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way." And then in verse 21, "It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother to fall." Again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, "Be careful that the exercise of your freedom does not become a stumbling block." He's saying in these verses, if we may feel it's quite all right to have a drink, to enjoy the gift that God has given us, but we must avoid causing unnecessary harm or distress to others who don't necessarily think the same way we do, or who aren't able, for whatever reason, to enjoy the drink. We're not to put a stumbling block, not to put temptation in their path. Not to let our attitudes cause them to trip up in their faith or fall into wrong ways. For if someone sincerely thinks that Christians shouldn't drink because it's wrong or because of the negative effects of alcohol, let's accept these views in love and not let our drinking become a stumbling block to them without mocking them, putting temptation before them. And indeed, Paul goes even further in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13. Although here he's actually addressing the issue of meat offered to idols, which worried some Christians. They were asking, is it okay to do that, to eat that meat? The same principle that he talks about applies to the drinking of alcohol. Because what he says, if what I eat, or in terms of alcohol, what I drink, causes my brother to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause him to fall. Paul is saying and suggesting to us that even if we find it's okay to drink, we're quite happy with it. If we're with someone to whom it's a stumbling block, we drink with someone who could so easily fall into temptation and into sin, far, far better forget our freedom, forget our enjoyment of a drink, but give it up, that they won't be harmed physically or spiritually. So then, to sum up, alcohol is a gift from God. It's there to be enjoyed if we wish, but it's not for drowning out our sorrows and our worries. It's not forbidden. We're free to choose whether we drink or not. But if we choose to, we are to drink responsibly, not get drunk, and always be aware of the feelings of others, to show them our love and our concern to those who are worried about alcohol, and abstain if it would lead them astray, cause them to stumble. Forget our own freedom, put ourselves in their place, avoid causing them harm.